The Gospel reading for the fourth reflection is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Lord, direct our thoughts and teach us to pray. Amen. We have looked at various aspects of discipleship over the last few weeks, being sent out to minister in God's name and for his glory, trusting in him alone. Love of God and one another, and the integration of both serving and being served. And today we find ourselves at perhaps the central aspect of our life as Christians, prayer, the place of communion with God. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples could see that prayer was central to Jesus' life and ministry. So they too wanted to learn from Jesus himself how to pray. Not just a litany of words that are able to be recited, but the essence of prayer. What was prayer for Jesus? As disciples, I think we all want to know and understand something about prayer. So many books have been written on prayer. I remember hearing Sister Wendy Beckett speaking to someone about prayer as part of her televised series on art, and insisting that she would never write a book on prayer. I wouldn't be able to quote her reasoning for that, but it was something along the lines of, there's only so much we can read about prayer, when in fact we just need to pray. I have to say I agree. But how do we understand prayer, and what meaning does prayer have in our lives? So let's first return to how Jesus helps us to understand prayer. Firstly, and most importantly, he is teaching us that prayer is about a relationship with God. He encourages us to begin with addressing God, just as he does, Abba, Father. The relationship is central. In fact, prayer is the relationship. Whether we pray in words or sighs too deep for words, when we come to God in prayer, we come to be in relationship with him. Jesus teaches us that just as a child brings their needs to their parent, we can all bring our needs to God. The words of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples encourages us to call on God as we would a parent, that God is the centre of all, he is hallowed, that we can ask him for our daily needs, for forgiveness and for protection. He wants us to turn to him, redirect ourselves to him. Everything in our lives can be taken to God. He is, after all, our creator. In the parable of the friend at midnight, Jesus seems to be showing us something about the messiness of prayer. It doesn't matter what time of day or night we reach out to our Father, whether it's in polite words or screams of pain, God is there receiving our prayers. We have only to walk into somewhere such as a hospital to understand something of the messiness of prayer. You can feel the tangible sense of desperation, cries of pain, tears of relief or thanksgiving coming from every corner, no matter what time of day or night. When working as a social worker, I spent a lot of my time sitting in courts, and I would say that 80% of my time was sat waiting outside a courtroom, waiting for a case to prepare itself before going before the judge, or waiting to give evidence. And it was another of those environments where you could feel the messiness of prayer. People's lives on the line in all sorts of ways. Prayer isn't neat, tidy, wrapped up in articulate sentences that we recite. Prayer is the heart of our relationship with God in our daily lives. God, please help me understand. God, thank you. God, please make me feel better. God, please don't let me die yet. We only have to look at Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday. reaching to God in tears, sweat falling from his face, pleading with his father to take it all from him. And yet the next day he is crucified. But what does Jesus pray just before he breathes his last? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In our darkest hour, we can do nothing but still submit to the Almighty One. So Jesus shows us that prayer is unpredictable, because prayer is about daily life, and that, as we know, is very unpredictable. But Jesus asks us to remain persistent, because being persistent keeps us in relationship with God, even when it makes no sense. When we ask for what we want in prayer, it's not a new revelation to God. He already knows. But it is about turning our hearts and minds to him, to know our utter dependence on him. We all have a soul as part of our being, mind, body and soul. And our souls are all part of God. To be linked to God in prayer is to continue connecting our souls with him, whether we're talking to him, pleading with him, or listening to him. Perhaps the desert mothers and fathers have a lot to teach us about prayer and persistence. Those who went out into the desert to seek a more prayerful life with God. There is that famous saying by Abba Moses, "Stay in your cell and your cell will teach you everything." It's a phrase that I've held on to over the years. It's not so much about the cell that's important in this phrase, but the stay. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't allow the distractions to disturb you. Even when prayer doesn't make sense, or we don't think we even know how to pray, or are not very good. Stay put. Stay in it. Stay in relationship with God, whether through sighs, tears, despair, or joy. Just like the longevity of a long-standing relationship, keep at it. It maybe helps us to understand that answered or unanswered prayer, in our eyes, is not so much the goal, but that we bring all to God and trust it into his hands. There is a very famous painting by William Holman Hunt, The Light of the World. This painting depicts the image of Christ standing at a closed door with a lantern, a light, but also light which surrounds Jesus. The door represents the soul. And the painting is based on a verse from Revelation, where Christ stands and knocks at the door, inviting people to come in and open their hearts to him. The door in the painting has no handle and cannot be opened by Christ. He waits for us to open the door and invite him into our lives. He waits for us to come to him, but he's always there, waiting behind that door. And if we dare to knock or bang on that door in desperation and pain, to open the door, what do we experience when we see the light of Christ waiting to receive us? In our unknowing, he is there, waiting for us to knock, open the door, and let him into our lives, to be in communion with us as we walk through the complexities of life. Just remember, he's waiting, just the other side of that door. I've always felt that the door is such a powerful image, and I wonder what that door feels like for each of us. Do we resist knocking on the door? Do we bang on the door? Do we go towards that door and then decide against it? Do we want to open that door and invite Jesus in? A question to ponder on this week is, what leads us to turn to God in prayer, and what turns us away? Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.